Little Emily biting her sister, or is teenage Barry refusing to help around the house? Consulting psychologist David Carey joins us to answer all your parenting woes. David Carey, good afternoon to you.
Walks are great. I love to imitate people. I'm a good mimic of walks.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I really am. I do them very well. And people can actually spot, you know, you're walking like so-and-so.
An Egyptian.
I'm going to be watching your walk now.
I don't know if you heard of the item we did before, that they've done various studies into people's styles of walks and what people infer from that.
Mm.
But they did one study in prison, and various people who are in for very serious offences says, yeah, he walks like a victim. She doesn't walk like a victim.
Yeah, I can believe that.
You know, if there's a long loping kind of a stride, you don't look like a victim.
Yeah,
The short steps,
Yeah. The first thing they teach you if you have a job in a factory is carry your wrench always, walk at a rapid pace, looking like you have a purpose.
Yes.
You can go through an 8-hour shift doing nothing that way.
Paul, the truck driver, says, I'm finished work now, just after pulling my truck into the side of the road, because if I go back to the yard now, I'll miss David Carey.
Paul, God love you.
So we apologize to the massive traffic jam that appearing behind Paul the truck driver now. My 3-year-old won't eat dinner from me anymore, with the exception of chicken nuggets. She did eat in creche, but that's more mixed now. She won't even taste anything from me anymore. I think this is her way of trying to control her food and eating habits. Have you any advice?
Aren't kids just great? Don't they do the wackiest things? For 3 years, she's been eating fine, and now all of a sudden, it's chicken nuggets or nothing.
Mm.
I wonder if she'll eat a more varied diet with someone else. Because the parent is saying, won't eat for me anymore, with the exception of chicken nuggets. Is there anyone else in the house with whom she might eat? So enjoy some chicken nuggets with her. Steal them off her plate. And you have something else to eat on your plate. And I'll bet you she might want to steal some food off your plate. In other words,
make
a little game out of it. Lots of the solutions to these minor problems in the toddler years can be solved just by making a little game out of it, being playful, keeping a sense of humor, and realizing that she's not going to starve to death. Now, a diet of nothing but chicken nuggets is not a healthy diet, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So talk to creche. What's she eating in creche? What kind of a lunch is she being served there? Are you giving her breakfast? What time is she eating? Is she getting any vegetables and fruit in her diet? Can we cut up some vegetables and make them appear as though they were chicken nuggets? I don't know. I'm thinking off the top of my head here. But probably right. This is a control issue because there are very few things little children can control.
Yeah.
Eating is one of them. Eliminating is one of them. As they get older and get into school, learning is one of them. So they can always stop learning efficiently. That, of course, drives parents to the peak of consternation.
Mm. Of course, they always say that when they learn to say no, that's a major change for a child, that they realize, ooh, I don't
have
to do any of this stuff.
There's a lot of power in that word, isn't there? And it's interesting because parents get extremely exasperated when the child is constantly saying no, and they forget that it's also one of the most important words in the parental vocabulary, no.
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily have to lead to endless dialogue and give and take and questions and answers. No is no, full stop.
My partner has an 8-year-old girl, and we've been together for 6 years. I've always had a good relationship with her, but in the last year, it has changed. She hardly speaks to me anymore and can be rude when she does respond. I brought it up, but her father is caught in the middle, as he only gets to see her once a week. It has gotten to the point where I don't want to be at home when she comes over, which is also wrong. Please help.
Yes, that is wrong. My advice to you is please do not take this personally, even though it appears to be aimed at you. We have no way of knowing what's being said to this little girl in her primary residence, and whether or not unfortunate and unpleasant things are being spoken about you or the dad who is now with you. 6 years you've been together, she's 8. That's a long time for her to be with you, to suddenly revert to this kind of stony silence. So don't take it as rudeness, and please try not to take it personally, although, of course, it is personal. You as the adult must rise above this. I think you need to talk to Dad, because there isn't a cop-out and opt-out clause here just because he only sees her once a week. He needs to talk with the girl's mother, if there's any lines of communication open, and try to see if the girl has expressed any unhappiness about being in his home with you. And that's the way I would approach it with his ex, by the way. Mm. Is there any reason that you think she's unhappy coming to my house right now?
Okay. I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, but I'm assuming this comes from a man and that he's been with a woman for 6 years. She has an eight-year-old girl, and the eight-year-old girl has known this man for 6 years. And now suddenly she's being rude to him.
No, here's where we have an interpretation. Yeah. I have brought it up, but her father is caught in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's the woman who lives with the girl's father? This is getting confusing isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Help us.
Yeah, we don't understand the question. Sorry, as to who's who.
It doesn't change the answer, though.
Yeah. Well, no, because it strikes me that this 8-year-old has known this person for 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But then maybe she's just started to cop. This isn't my biological parent, even though perhaps she's seen him so much, and she's only after realizing actually what the situation is, and perhaps that's why there's this change in temperament.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Yes. You're probably right. I did misinterpret it. It's very hard to discern what's happening here.
Yeah.
Because of insufficient data, as they say. But I really do think the most important point that leaps out to me here is it's gotten to the point where I don't want to be at home when she comes over, which, of course, the questioner says, I know is the wrong thing. So rise above it, because you can be absolutely sure she's picking up on that. Guaranteed. Yeah. No way to conceal that. So whatever has gone on to precede her stony silence is being exacerbated and reinforced by your tension when she's entering your family home. So you really have to be at pains to welcome her and to feel more comfortable around her, not fall all over yourself. Hopefully she'll fall in line. I wish I knew more about what was going on here. Mm. Very often in situations like this, someone is putting words into the child's ears that are toxins and poisoning them against a parent or step-parent.
Right, okay. That's on the basis of as much information as we have. I have three boys, and my 5-year-old is having serious issues when it comes to sharing with his siblings. I have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old, but it's only the 5-year-old that's proving difficult as of late. I treat them all equally, and when one gets a toy, they all get toys. They get the same dinners and treats, etc., so no one can complain. But for some reason, my 5-year-old refuses to share his toys and tires to take whatever his siblings have off of them. He has also started acting out like drawing on the walls, spitting when throwing a tantrum, and even hitting his brothers at times. I give out to him, I hunker down to his level and explain why he's misbehaving and why he's being punished, but it's not getting through. What do I do?
Yeah, I wish it was contained just to the problem of sharing, because some children do have difficulties sharing play resources and they need to be taught. And that's where the magic sentence comes in. Listeners, you remember the magic sentences. John, I'm really surprised to see that you can't get along with your two brothers without hurting them or trying to take the toys off them. Most boys your age have already learned how to do that, and then you walk away. But this boy is exhibiting symptoms of anger. He's spitting during his temper tantrums. I wonder how frequent they are. Mm-hmm. He's now drawing on walls, which I have to assume he didn't do before. Yeah. He's a little bit old to be drawing on walls now at age 5. That's more 2- and 3-year-old kind of behavior. Time to sit down and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Have a chat with him. Is something happening? Has he recently started school, I wonder, too? Is he in junior infants this year and just finishing? That's a huge transition. A lot of children have difficulty with it. Are the 3-year-old and the 8-year-old setting him up from time to time, making it look like they want to dominate the toys? You know that game, Sean. This is mine, it's not yours.
Yeah.
I can play with this Lego set. You can't, because it's not for 5-year-olds. If that kind of thing is happening out of parents' earshot and eyesight, you'll never really know. The one who looks like the perpetrator is sometimes the victim of being set up by the real perps.
Yeah.
It's hard to discern. I would suggest trying the magic sentence for the sharing problem and seeing what might be at the root of this seemingly new outburst of anger and resentment with hitting his brothers, drawing on walls, and spitting. What's he drawing on the walls, I wonder?
Mm.
Always interesting. Children's drawings are the gateway to their inner life. If it's just scribbling, then that's a sign of anger, isn't it? Anger at the object, the family home.
He's also a middle child. Might that be significant?
Well, that could be significant because the middle child is pushed and pulled in both directions at the same time. He has a three-year-old. Three-year-olds have all kinds of difficulties of their own. They don't have good self-regulation skills. I can't imagine the three-year-old is a perfect angel any more than I can imagine the eight-year-old is the best eight-year-old in the world at sharing. I'd say there's a good bit of sibling rivalry going on here. And I think sometimes the magic sentence combined with, I know you boys can sort this out for yourselves without hurting each other.
Yeah.
Because you're brothers. And I know you all love each other. And walk away and watch and listen for what happens from afar.
We're back home a month at this stage from a family holiday, and my six-year-old has completely withdrawn. The reason is because she lost her teddy while in Spain, which she's had since she was three. The hotel has searched for it, but no joy. I brought her the same teddy when we got back, but it's not the same, she tells me. She refuses to play with her other toys. It's like she's grieving for the teddy. Would this be normal behaviour? I don't know how to get her to move on. Should I help her to mourn this lost toy, or is this just encouraging her behaviour? I've no idea how to handle this one.
Well,
they're part of the thing.
Losing your teddy at age six, and you can't get over it after a month, and some mommy and daddy goes out and buys you a brand new one, which doesn't look the same, doesn't smell the same.
Mm.
Its eye isn't hanging out on the right side because you didn't love it as much as you loved the last one, and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it's not a replacement. And so you're just going to have to wait it out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She will get over it. Yes, it's a bit of grieving. A month is a long time.
It is. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Is she a very sensitive child, I wonder? How does she deal with upset? Does she really hang on to things? I think maybe the message is, well, you lost your teddy and he was very loved and he misses you too. But I bet if you find a new one, you can love him just as much, and he'll love you just as much back. What may have gone wrong here is that mom and or dad went out and bought a new one for the child. Perhaps they didn't involve her in the choice of a new one.
Mm.
Now, I don't know, but I'm wondering.
She probably tried to just replace that one.
Just to, get the best lookalike.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when your cat runs away, you go out and find one that looks just like it and say, oh, you know, Susie's back.
Yes.
But the children aren't going to fall for that.
Yeah.
I just think wait and see and to get her involved in choosing a new one. Maybe not a teddy. You know, people who know a lot about dogs say if you lose your family pet, if it dies of old age or something, don't buy the same breed again because you're going to be transferring the same expectations on a new dog that looked like the old dog but isn't the old dog. So maybe a different kind of cuddle toy this time. And get her involved in choosing the cuddle toy.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it'll just take a while, the poor little thing.
It's a loss, and it's not to be underestimated. You're not going to encourage her, and I don't know what parent means by help her with the grieving and mourning process. You might have a little ceremony, a little ritual for the lost teddy. Is there anywhere where there's a photo of her with the lost teddy, I wonder, in the family archive, and maybe frame that for her? And give it to her, although that may be a source of upset because it could be a constant reminder of the old teddy. You just have to kind of think around the problem. Sometimes you have to wait these things out.
Yeah. This seems like a mad complaint, but my three-year-old son tells me he loves me all the time, especially when going to bed, and he always wants to give me kisses. I think it's a delay tactic at bedtime, and I know it should be sweet, but it's driving me mad as the process is then dragged out. How can I stop it without hurting his feelings?
That is one of the best problems we've ever had, Sean. I love you so much, mommy or daddy, and I want to kiss you forever. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So, we're going to count our kisses, son. And we're going to hold up a finger every time we kiss. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, last kiss, 99, and off you go.
Mm. But he's clever, though, isn't he?
Yeah. He knows how to play the game.
Yeah. Texter says, my little one lost her teddy in a hotel. They couldn't find it, but I came up with a scheme saying that Teddy had a new job in the hotel. She was delighted eventually that Teddy had a job. We laugh about it now. I assume that the child is much older now.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I thought of that. But the problem is the game is up. Because they
you
already
go back to the hotel. Yeah, where's Teddy?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's well, probably won't be going back for a good few years. But they've already bought her a new Teddy and told her that Teddy's lost.
Yeah.
So we can't. That wasn't a bad way to deal with it, by the way.
Yeah. My 11-year-old daughter has been very teary and complains of always being sad in the last few weeks. She blames school. She says it's tough, but mainly says she doesn't know why she feels so down. She's starting to develop physically, and I'm wondering if this is the start of puberty for her and she's feeling this way because of all the hormones. Could she be depressed at such a young age? She's always been an incredibly happy child, so this change in her behaviour is really noticeable. I don't know how to help her.
3 weeks of a change in mood and personality isn't enough to make a huge issue out of it, quite frankly. She's reaching puberty, so can hormones be playing a role? Yes. They're not the sole cause, however. Mm. We need to talk to teacher. Find out what's going on. The child has given a huge hint here. She says school is tough. What does that mean?
Yeah.
She's 11. She's most likely in fifth class, maybe fourth. Tiny possibility sixth, but I doubt it. Curriculum gets very demanding at that age. Classroom politics in terms of friendships and socialization become increasingly more complex. So she's dealing with a lot of issues in school. But 3 weeks of a change in mood, I wouldn't be terribly worried. Now, if it goes on for 6 weeks, then I start getting concerned. Question was asked, can children at that age be clinically depressed? Oh, yeah, they certainly can. And much younger age as well. This doesn't sound like it to me, but could be. I think it needs some watching. It needs some conversation with teacher, because I'd want to know how she's interacting in the school, particularly on break time. Mm. Is she moody? Is she isolating herself? How's her sleep parent, mom or dad? Has there been any change in her appetite? Is teacher noticing any change in her learning profile? Does she seem to have more difficulty concentrating, paying attention, remembering things in the short term? All those are possible signs of depression. In the absence of all of that, it's hard to know what's going on. Listen, be available, talk to teacher, continue to keep the lines of communication open with your child, observe over the next couple of weeks, and then make a decision as to where you might need to go. Maybe nowhere, maybe it'll go away.
Yeah.
I think a conversation with teacher could be very illuminating here, Sean.
Yeah. And the girl herself says school is tough, but in the main, she doesn't know why she feels sad.
Exactly.
Is it she doesn't know why she feels sad? Or
quite probably
she
true.
She hasn't identified it herself.
Yeah. Mood swings in early adolescence are normal, by the way. But this isn't a mood swing. It's a dip in mood that's pervasive over 3 weeks of her life now. So that does raise question marks, and it does raise concerns. I think you need to watch. Be careful. Listen. Most important, because school will be closing in another 3 weeks or so. Talk to teacher. Find out what's been going on, if anything.
Yeah. On the subject of the word no, Paul, who's listening to us in Galway, says, I reared three children in a very dangerous part of London, and I taught them that the most important word in the language for themselves was no. I now have three reasonably well-balanced adult children. How much more can a parent expect? Well, not much more.
You can't expect anything more than that. And Paul's message reminds us that children who grow up amidst chaos, violence, unpredictability, and social economic neglect do not always end up on the wrong path of life.
Yeah, indeed.
There are choices to be made, and the guiding lines are set down by the parents, and they're so influential. Paul, you did a good job.
On the subject of the lost Teddy, Adriana says, our daughter had a tiny plastic pig that she called Sitting Piggy. life would not be worth living if Sitting Piggy went missing. I feel for the lady with the lost toy and the grieving child. John says, bring her to the dolls. This is a good idea. Bring her to the dolls hospital or a charity shop and tell her to pick a teddy that's also lost and she can care for it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
I like that one.
Yeah. Tell the lady with the lost teddy to buy the book Tatty Ratty that tells the story of the adventures of a lost toy. So some very good suggestions there.
Well done, listeners.
Listen in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Moncrief for more parenting advice from David Carey.